Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Nine Works of the Holy Spirit, Part 2. We are considering the Holy Spirit, who is one of the members of the Trinity. There are several Trinities in the Bible. Man consists of a body, soul, and spirit. The evil Trinity of Satan, Antichrist, and the false prophet. And of course, the Holy Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Please consider this illustration I found. I thought it was very well done. There is ample evidence in the Scriptures that the Godhead is a unity made up of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We should not feel that it is an insult to our intelligence to expect us to accept this revealed truth of Scripture. Let us be as open to the truth as that converted Indian who gave the following illustration, imperfect though it is, for his belief in the Trinity. He says this: we go down to the river in winter, and we see it covered with snow. We chop through the ice, and we come to the water. Snow is water, ice is water, water is water. Therefore, the three are one. In this way, God demonstrates his triune nature through the natural world. I can't fully explain God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I accept it. But we do have to acknowledge that he is three in one. There are three distinct, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and they work in perfect harmony. We noted that the Trinity is referenced way back in Genesis and creation. I'm not repeating that verse on your sheet, but it's Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the Trinity. We must not deny that there are functions, they are shared and overlapping, yet there are certain functions that are assigned to one of the three. Now, there are some people that overemphasize their attention to the Holy Spirit. Quite often, this leads to passionate and emotional worship. I'm not against emotions, but I do have a problem when people overemphasize the person and the work of the Holy Spirit in their worship. Because as we studied in our first message, John records where Jesus Christ says to the disciples, he will not speak of himself, he'll promote Jesus. When you hear a church overemphasizing the Holy Spirit, stand back, because the function of the Holy Spirit is to promote Jesus. And so it is, when you come to a church service, they ought to be promoting God the Son. That's the way God ordained it. Neither must we, though, neglect the Holy Spirit and his work in our salvation, his work in our Christian growth and service. Well, so it is, last time we considered seven works of the Holy Spirit. They are, or were, the Holy Spirit convicts of sin. The Holy Spirit points to the Savior, not himself. Three, the Holy Spirit regenerates. Four, the Holy Spirit seals until the day of redemption, and no one can break that seal. Five, the Holy Spirit causes us to remember truth. Six, the Holy Spirit teaches believers the will of God. And number seven, the Holy Spirit comforts believers in time of sorrow. Well, we're going to consider two more works, functions, duties of the Holy Spirit. Number eight, the Holy Spirit empowers believers for service. Jesus foretold of this power to come. The dispensation of the law has been in effect for hundreds and hundreds of years. Jesus Christ ascends into heaven. The work of the law, the dispensation of the law, is coming to an end, and it is going to be the church age. And therein, we will be empowered by a Holy Spirit. It's invisible per se, but it happens. Consider As Jesus Christ was standing on the Mount of Olives, he's already died, rose again. In the book of Acts, he is standing on the Mount of Olives with the disciples, and he says these words, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you're going to be so empowered, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." So it is, this Holy Spirit is going to come. Unknown to the Old Testament, unknown to any other time in the past, there is now coming a dispensation where God will empower us and guide us through the Holy Spirit that indwells and seals us. I want you to think about the power that this Holy Spirit gives us. We're all familiar with the denials of Peter as Jesus was on his way to the cross. Matthew 26:74, Peter was fully aware of his sin. "Then began he," Peter, "to curse and swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew." And so it is, Peter was ashamed and afraid to stand up for Jesus Christ. And he realized it, and he wept bitterly. And if you were to go to John chapter 21, you would see that Jesus Christ gave Peter three chances to confess him. And so it is, he failed miserably. He was afraid. But he stood and was able to make things right there on the Sea of Galilee, and he acknowledged that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And God, Jesus Christ, brought him back, restored him to service, not salvation, but to service. Please consider Acts chapter 2, verse 4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." All, that includes Peter. And what happened when he was empowered by that Holy Spirit? They all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. "Oh, what a merciful God we serve, but I denied you." And Jesus says, "Yes, and you also acknowledged me. Let's move on. I got work for you to do." And he empowered him and the other disciples. Acts chapter 2, 14, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice." The man who was once afraid to acknowledge and identify himself with Christ is now standing before a multitude. "He lifted up his voice and said, Ye men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, but be this known unto you and hearken to my words." The man who was once afraid is now empowered by the Holy Spirit. "I can do this, not in my own strength, but through the strength of God because of that Holy Spirit." And I want you to think of all the disciples. Only a few short days before this, Matthew 26:56, "But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." It wasn't just Peter. All of them fled. And at the day when it came, the church and the Holy Spirit came down, what did he do? They all opened their mouths. They were no longer afraid. Acts 5, verse 40, "And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them," they weren't running this time. "Go ahead, beat me. I want to suffer for the cause of my Savior. If that's what God wants of me, I will do it." "They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." The men who once fled, including the one who denied him three times, have now boldly preached. "And I don't care if you beat me, I'm going to keep preaching." Where do you think that kind of power comes from? It's not within a man. It comes from the Holy Spirit of God working through that man. They had power to do what God wanted them to do. Boy, there is such a key to our success in a Christian life. Do what God wants you to do. Don't you tell God what you're going to do for him. Because he will give you power when you're in his will. Number 9, the Holy Spirit gives powers to believers in various spiritual gifts. So here we know there's power coming, But now we're also going to emphasize here on number 9, the spiritual gifts. They are gifts given by the Holy Spirit to believers to serve in ministry. And here I want us to really consider. 1 Corinthians 12:7 is one of the lists in the Bible. But the manifestation of the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of acknowledgement by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. That is not an exhaustive list. There are others in Scripture. But it's enough to let you know that there is a diversity of gifts given by the Holy Spirit, listen to me, to a believer when he trusts Christ. And you get these, and as you grow in the Lord and you apply yourself to the Scriptures in obedience to what God wants you to do, it becomes more and more understood and pronounced and obvious what your gifts are. Quite often, do you know how to find your spiritual gift? Ask somebody else. And they will start to see in you if you are applying yourself as you ought to the Word of God and to the obedience, what He would have you to do. I want you to get this because it's key. Spiritual gifts are not natural abilities. Everybody is born with certain abilities. You all demonstrated pretty much you have the ability to walk. Yes, that came from God, but that's different. It's a natural thing that He gave you at birth. That's different from a spiritual gift. I have heard sometimes people say from time to time different things. Well, he's really athletic. That's his gift. That came from God, but that is not a spiritual gift. Now, that person may, within their God-given spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit, maybe can use it. For example, let's get back to it. I can walk. That's not necessarily a spiritual gift. I can use the ability to walk to use my spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are given to believers. Everybody has natural ability from birth. And yes, you can develop yourself. But the truth is, that's not the spiritual gift. The spiritual gift comes upon you divinely. And it does one thing, not to bring any attention to you, but to glorify God, to serve Him, to share the gospel, to teach others, to live the life that glorifies God. You must remember that these spiritual gifts come, but there are sign gifts. And we're going to talk about this for just a second, because it is so often confused. Do we have the gift of healing today? No. If I could heal, I would go over to the Cape Coral Hospital and clear it out. I wouldn't have to call the news media. Somebody would do it for me. But I can't, and no man can. I want to make it perfectly clear. God does miracles every day, all the time, and He always will, and He always has. But I want you to remember this, Mark chapter 16, verse 20. Please consider this. And they went forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them, and here it is, confirming the word with the signs following. Do you realize how dynamic it is when the transition from the law to the church came? And the disciples get up and they say, there's a Holy Spirit. Right. No, watch. And God gave them the ability to do a sign gift so that, hey, there's something about this person. I better listen to their message. Let's read it again. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs. God says, listen, I know you got a powerful message. I'm going to confirm it with words, or I'm going to verify it, that you're really speaking truth. They had a very powerful message, thus they were empowered with miracles, and their message was confirmed. But now let us step back. Many of you have already heard this, but it is so important. There's only 4 times in the Bible when God has allowed man to do the dynamic gifts, the dynamic works, the dynamic miracles. What were the four? Moses and Aaron. Moses was called out of the desert with Aaron, and they went up to Pharaoh and they said, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh's right. "No, watch, the Nile's going to turn to blood." And so it is that the message of Moses and Aaron was confirmed with a 10 plagues. And of course, then there's also other times of Moses. But did you know that there's no more miracles recorded in Bible from Moses and Aaron until Elijah and Elisha? Why? Because God was sending Elijah to the northern kingdom, and he came to King Ahab, and the first thing he says, "It's not going to rain till I say so." That's a dynamic message. And he is really confronting the northern kingdom of Israel because of their sin. And so it is God empowered him to do miracles and Elisha to do miracles. But did you know there are no more miracles listed in the Bible until Christ and the apostles? And that's a very powerful message. I am Messiah. Right. And God says, "I will verify that by miracles." And of course, Christ did miracles all the time. And then how about there's no more miracles until the two witnesses in the tribulation? So each time we see these gifts, it is surely coming from the Holy Spirit. But certain gifts are only given for a time. You see, the miracle is not the important thing. The message is the important thing. How many people are infatuated with, "Wow, did you see what he did?" "No, I was too busy listening to his message." That's what God wants. It's like taking a gift and you play with the wrapping paper instead of the gift. Something's wrong with this picture. So we ought not to be infatuated with the sign gifts. They only verify, but for a time, and they're gone. Let's take a look at Hebrews 2, 3, and 4. "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness with both signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost." The whole transition. Guess who Hebrews is written primarily to? Hebrews. And he is saying, this new message is being taught. It has been confirmed by signs and wonders and miracles. Once the message was confirmed, there was no more need, and that is why you see there's four times. It comes and goes. Please note 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Charity, oh, by the way. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about what? The gifts. That's 12. 14 talks about the gifts. In the middle is 13, which talks about the importance of love. And please let us remember that. Sandwiched between two chapters on spiritual gifts is this passage, 1 Corinthians 13:8. It says this: "Charity never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. We know in part, we prophesy in part." It's in part. The Bible is not complete yet. So God is still, when people are speaking dynamic things, he's empowering. "For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come," referring to the Bible. Jesus is a he, not a that. "But when that which is perfect is come," the assembled canon of Scripture, "then that which is in part," all the prophecies here and there, the speaking, the visions and the insights from the Holy Spirit, when the Bible is complete, it's done. So it is, there are four times in Scripture when man does dynamic miracles, with one exception, Joshua chapter 10. Joshua was defending the Gibeonites, and he calls out because there's not enough time, and you can make a note in your margin there. Joshua 10:12, "Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. He said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon." And here it is, you have it on your verses. Verse 13, "And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jasher, So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down a whole day." And the next verse confirms it all. "And there was no day like that before or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man." It's the one exception. God is doing miracles all the time. And when God empowers you through the Holy Spirit, He is working an incredible miracle. And He's empowering your voice to go out. He's multiplying your efforts. And He's also impressing it upon the ears of those hear or see or experience what you're trying to convey. And the Holy Spirit is absolutely working dynamically. But I don't have the power to do that. The Holy Spirit does. I yield myself to pass baskets, and the Holy Spirit multiplies the fish and the loaves, and I can't explain it. And in like fashion, when you watch this ministry or any ministry that's truly doing the Word of God, and little as much when God is in it, and He is blessing and blessing in it, how did you do that? I don't know. God does. Because He multiplies our humble efforts. And then I have to also add this. One man in the Bible, and only one man in the Bible, was called a man after God's own heart. And it is David. And David came to the throne, and of course his predecessor was King Saul. And King Saul had a grandson who was crippled of his feet. And David said, "You know, I'd really like to bless the household of Saul. What can I do?" And they said, "Well, there is one, Mephibosheth." He said, "Get him." And Mephibosheth came to the only man in the Bible called a man after God's own heart. And David did not heal him. He gave him a wonderful, honored position at his table. He blessed him, but he did not heal him. Do you know why? He couldn't. He couldn't. I believe David would have healed him if he could. David didn't heal anybody. And he was a man after God's own heart. So it is that God has only allowed four times with one exception. We have now considered the Holy Spirit convicts of sin, the Holy Spirit points to the Savior, the Holy Spirit regenerates, the Holy Spirit seals, the Holy Spirit causes us to remember, the Holy Spirit teaches believers, the Holy Spirit comforts believers, the Holy Spirit empowers, the Holy Spirit gives powers to believers through spiritual gifts. Now, briefly considered these, we must make it personal. You have to live yourself such that the Holy Spirit can work through you. He is in you. He has sealed you. You can't run from Him. He is with you anywhere and everywhere you go. But God's plan is that you would live a holy life, doing what God wants you to do, because He planted you in time and space for a purpose. And so Paul says this to the believers at Ephesus, Ephesians 4:30, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." Don't grieve Him. Don't frustrate Him. He's a real person and He is inside you. Can I explain that? Absolutely not. I accept it. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He is in there to guide and to direct. And then look at 1 Thessalonians 5:19. "Quench not the Spirit." Don't dampen His efforts. It goes right along with the "grieve not." But rather, He gives us a third command. As believers, what should we do? Well, don't grieve. Don't quench. Rather, Galatians 5:16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." Walk or live in the Spirit. Live according to God's standards. The best you know how in your heart. God knows none of us are perfect. Of us fully understand the Word of God. There's endless studies that you could go on. There are truths that are evident that we live by, but folks, we all have much to learn. Walk in the Spirit as best as you can, and you're going to grow along the way, and God will be blessed, and He can use you greatly. Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see, when you're born into this world, you have an old nature, and that's all you have. But when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you now are born again, and you now have a new nature. I want you to understand this. The old nature at salvation was not renovated and made new. The old nature is just as old and ugly as it was when you were born. You are given a new nature. That part of man which died in the Garden of Eden. When you eat of that fruit, you will die. Well, they took a bite and they didn't drop dead. It was their spirit that died. And of course, physical death followed. That's what has to be born again. And so it is. You have, as a Christian now, an old nature and a new nature. And the old nature wants to do all these mean, ugly, dirty things. And the new nature says, I want to walk in this fellowship with the Holy Spirit that's dwelling within me. And have you figured out that they don't agree with each other? And this is why Christians have so much inner turmoil. Your brain is the basis of your spirituality, your thinking. And you need to choose, I'm not going to live under the old nature. Walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You don't just stop doing things. You replace the old behavior with new God-honoring behavior, and this is what pleases God. And we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Quote, Paul closed this part of his argument with the comforting statement, to be led of the Spirit means to walk by the Spirit. To be empowered by Him, to walk by the Spirit means freedom from the power of sin. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law but under grace. Sin and the devil have lost their power over the believer. Folks, you now have the power to choose right as a born-again person. And this is what we must do daily, is determine to do right. Here's a quote from 1893. So let's go back over 100 years, and I want you to see this. Short but profound. Quote from 1893. The majority of Christians have seemed to suppose that the filling of the Holy Spirit was the prerogative of a few. They have never thought of it as within their reach, and the church has been paralyzed. This is what they're saying 100 years ago. I wonder what they'd say today. And the church has been paralyzed for the lack of the only power that can avail in the conflict against the world, the power which was distinctly pledged by her ascending Lord. Pentecost was meant to be the specimen and type of all the days of the years of this present age, and we have fallen far below this blessed level, not because of any failure on God's part, but because the church has neglected its privilege. You're allowed to know and to acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is dwelling within you and the Holy Spirit is leading you. That's God's plan. God doesn't want you to live in some form of spiritual denial. Well, I'm really not led of the Spirit. Well, then get over it and start being led by the Spirit. You're allowed to know God is working through you. You're allowed to know that He is blessing you. So it is. There's a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Each one of those is the God, and yet they are three in one. We must accept that. They work together in perfect harmony for the saving of men's souls and helping, guiding, and empowering them in the spiritual service. The sinner is sealed by the Holy Spirit the moment that he believes in Jesus as his Savior, but he must apply himself daily to live according to the truths of Scripture, to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and God will bless. If we grieve or quench the Holy Spirit, then He cannot effectively work in and through us. If we grieve or quench the Spirit, we are still saved, but we are not as effective as we could be as if we were truly walking with Him. And the bottom line is, the first of God's priorities, the salvation of souls. You don't send your son to die for people if it's not important. Let us consider the most important decision any person will ever make. And that is, what will you do with Jesus? You see, we will all die one day, and we're all going to enter eternity. Are you ready? Folks, we don't know. We might not be here next week. You might not be here next week. I might not be here next week. It's the reality of life. We know this. One day we won't be here. Let that hand represent you. Let it be every person on this earth. They all came into this world with a sin debt. Let that represent sin. God says, I love the sinner, but I hate the sin. And there's nothing that you can do to get rid of that sin debt. It is far too great and you're far too inadequate. And the debt is there and must be paid in full because no sin is going to enter God's perfect heaven. And you could join this church, you could give money, you could do whatever you deem to be a good work, communion, baptism, church membership, none of it gets you to heaven. It is not what you and I do, it is what Jesus did that takes care of this. We cannot get rid of that. Let that hand represent Jesus. God knows our helpless estate. He wants us to know our helpless estate. And therein, he wants us to know that we can't do anything, but we must trust in the work of redemption done by Jesus. God in the flesh came down, and he was perfect, but he was willing to pay the sin debt for every man, woman, and child. Jesus Christ took your sin and my sin, and he hung on that cross. And he paid the eternal hell for all of us. Paid in full. He died, gave up the ghost, rose again after 3 days, paid in full. See, death could not hold him. The wages of sin is death. But he didn't have any sin. He paid the sin debt, but he himself was not a sinner. So he could rise again. Proving he was the Son of God. Proving the message with a tremendous sign. Believe it. And you see, the moment we realize, I get it, it's not what I do that saves my soul, it's what Jesus did. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth and joins a church and gets water baptized and goes to communion and... What does it say? Whosoever believes. You don't even have time to pray. The moment you believed, God says you're born again. You will not perish, go to hell. Rather, you will have everlasting life. It's the greatest decision you will ever make. What will you do with Jesus? It determines, it settles your eternal destiny. This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.